Hello and welcome to Best of Five, your weekly FGC talk show brought to you by the same crew as always. Of course, unfortunately, still minus one. Efren is still, with his child, newly born, only two some odd weeks old. And so that takes precedence over our little show. And of course, I am brought to you as always by our co-hosts, Steve, Ace King, Offsuit, Jurek, and John, Velociraptor, Guerrero, as long as Elon behind the desk. How are y'all doing?
I am doing fantastic. How about you guys?
I'm making it.
You make it as good as you can, man. As good as you can.
And we have a lot to talk about this week. We have E-League, just finished, and there's a lot of controversy around that outside of just the game itself. A bunch of sponsorships and losses of sponsorships. We have SCR coming up, and of course we have Alex Valle being interviewed later on the show. So a bunch going on. But we'll start it off like we always do with a CPT recap.
Let's kick it off with some events that you and I enjoyed this past weekend. The Red Bull Conquest qualifiers kick it off in Dallas. As you see, the team representing the Big D will be Toy, Kid Viper, NA Cash. Toy taking it over his teammate Nigel in Street Fighter, Kid Viper getting it done in Guilty Gear, and A Cash coming down from Oklahoma to take the Tekken title. What were your thoughts on the event out in Dallas?
It was really well ran. The venue was super cool. The events were competitive. Kid Viper took Guilty Gear pretty handily. But the Tekken Finals between Forward and Akash was awesome, and Street Fighter was pretty competitive the whole way. We had a bunch of, all the best players from the South were at least from Texas and from a variety of other places in the South were there. And, of course, it's represented by Dallas and Houston and Oklahoma. So it kind of worked as a qualifier for our whole region rather than just Dallas itself. And before we go on, I'd like to, thank Quest Beer for the subscription. Almost, 9 months. We're getting close to people actually hitting that year mark. But yeah, which Red Bull Dallas was awesome.
Which is kind of scary. That wasn't the only Red Bull Conquest event. There was one in St. Paul, Minnesota that I actually went to. I go to events sometimes. It really happens. It was technically a Twin Cities qualifier, but it might as well have been Chicago. Elven Shadow took the Guilty Gear title. Meteor Man, who entered as Scoop the Whoop, the best name free in the tournament, taking it over Beast Infection. That Grand Finals was ridiculous.
Beast Infection's pretty good too, though. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and Cub Norris. That's like, if you rank the top three names in this tournament, that's your top three right
there. Oh, I didn't even see the Tekken 7 logo. I thought that was just a name ranking. Nice.
Oh, no. but Minnesota did get one. That dude, Mojo, taking it over Just a Kid to prevent the Chicago sweep.
Is Just a Kid the jury player that I fight online all the time?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
That's cool.
Yeah, and he was putting in work in the grand final. But Mojo, the Mika pick, taking it all the way. So.
And still a super underrated player. Mojo has a ton of results and has beaten a ton of the best players in the world at this point. So, yeah, really good guy.
And he will get that chance. If you get a chance to look at the venue, it was at the Union Depot in St. Paul. There's some pretty cool picks floating around. It's a really, really good venue. So be sure to check that out on Twitter when you get a chance. As for the international circuits, we had FV Cup this weekend, which was part of both the Tekken World Tour and the Capcom Pro Tour. On the Tekken side, it was Take who took it over John Ding in the grand final, getting a win for Japan. Also getting a win for another new player to the winner's circle. The 12th different player to win an offline event. There were only 15 who won all of last year on the Tekken World Tour. So way more variety in that top spot than we saw last year. If we take a look at the global standings, not a whole lot of changes. John Ding actually, there's a typo there. John Ding is actually in second place over JDCR. The point totals are in the right spots, but the players are not. Also note the middle column, bottom two spots, 19 and 20. Last man in, Joey Fury. First man out, Fergus. Both of those guys are in the same pool in at VS Fighting this weekend, along with Dimeback. So pool six is going to be a key pool in the race for the Tekken World Tour finals. Kicking it over to the Street Fighter side of that event, the Cammy Memorial Tournament. God damn. If you love Cammy, this was the tournament for you. If you hate Cammy, oh my goodness. Four Cammy players made top eight, but she didn't win, so she needs buffs. Cien took it over UD in the grand final. Haitani, third, Cammy. Gamer B, fourth, Cammy.
Haitani played Akuma.
Oh, my bad. All the Cammies just sort of blending.
Well, Haitani ended up having to play six Cammies in a row.
That's where I was thinking about. Yeah, because it was John Ding, who's actually, you know, he's known for his Tekken, but he's pretty solid in Street Fighter. Then Gamer B, then UD, then Mago, then Gamer B again, then UD again. So just, he's got plenty of experience in the matchup now. but that sort of led to a whole bunch of talk about Cammy, why she's so good, the fear of, will we see a similar result at Evo with three, four, maybe even more players running one character in top eight?
I think that when Cammy hits you with an uppercut, it should poison you.
Yeah.
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 So like in real life, not just in the game.
Oh, yeah. You start feeling sick.
When you die in the game, you die in real life.
Street Fighter, yeah.
Oh, God. But yeah, I was just saying that the one thing she needs is a command throw, you know, just you just don't respect her enough when she's up close. Moving on for now, at least from the Cammy discussion, there is also an online event for Western Europe. So UK, Scandinavia, France, Germany, Spain, all of those countries involved. Phenom got his second online win of the season, taking it over Vega Patch in the grand final. Strong performance for both of those players. But another good weekend for Phenom as he continues to march on towards Capcom Cup. If we take a look at the standings, you can see Phenom now in the top 10 in points. Just ahead, pretty good margin over Daigo right now for eighth. The final spots, though, you look at Gamer B 27, 10 points behind Brolinho for that final guaranteed, or excuse me, that's the race for the final guaranteed spot. It could grow a little bit depending on how regional finals play out, but that's where we're at. But of course, the big money, the big event this weekend, the playoffs, the finals of the 2018 E-League Street Fighter V Invitational. I just want to say, I correctly predicted six of these eight placings.
I did awful.
Yeah. Like, literally, I had Fujimura making the run that Smug did. If those two swapped, I would have predicted it right down to the reset.
Yeah, well, Fujimura got last.
Yeah, well, 3,000, not too bad for him. but Tokido taking it over Smug in the grand final. A couple people had some thoughts about that, but Tokido taking home 150K. Smug doing pretty well, all right for himself with 40,000. Daigo taking third, taking home 20,000. On top of this, there was also the finals of the online tournament series that they've run in conjunction with E-League. That came down to Shine and Samurai. Shine won the first to two grand finals in that to take the $9,000 first prize. So congratulations to Shine. Congratulations to all the players you see for a fantastic run at E-League.
And that's the end of the recap?
That is it.
So should we go straight into talking about E-League? What do you guys think?
Well, I think we should congratulate Bloomtoon for congratulating the Salinas family and for Donka for having a great head of hair. He also subscribed. That's what that all was for. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Bloomtoon. One of the show's longest standing fans. Or whatever we call them.
We need to get a name for our like our followers. I don't know.
They should talk about that in the chat right
now.
Yeah,
they should. They should figure that
out. And we'll
out.
Vote on it.
Absolutely. But no, Cinderella story from Smug at E-League, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, 3-0. I mean, it didn't even look like a Cinderella story outside of what we thought. Because, I mean, he bodied everyone.
Absolutely.
Even Tokido until the last set. I mean, he 3-0'd everyone in a row, right?
Well, we're going into it talking like Fujimura just came off of his ridiculous run at CEO. Right, it was CEO, yeah. And then, like, so it's like, yeah, he's in the loser's bracket, but, like, he's the one that all eyes are on. Like, he might be the favorite to win, even though he's in loser's bracket. Smug would have been probably, out of everyone in the top eight, the last pick to go anywhere, especially because he had Fujimura first round. And like you said, 3-0, and everyone's jaws hit the floor, and we go, who is this man that showed up to play today? And a lot of that was because of his defense, right? Yeah. He's been an offensive machine since Street Fighter IV. No surprises there. But Smug turned on the defense, and it took him so far.
Yeah, his anti-air was impeccable. He blocked on Wake Up a lot. Obviously, boxer with no reversal options. He played fantastically well. And, I mean, I guess what we're getting into is the controversy that perhaps his streak was cut short by a commercial break. And for people who don't know, in between the reset of the grand finals first set and the grand finals reset, there was a 5 or so minute long ad break that basically resulted in the players taking, you know, almost 10 minutes in between playing, you know, match three and match four, or match four and match five.
I thought it was only 2 minutes, or is it 2 minutes plus the announcers talked for a while and then shenanigans happened?
It was a while.
The commercial break was like 2 minutes. But you had the little bit of talking down after the end of the first set, a little bit of the intro as they came back. So the actual break was closer to 5.
Mm-hmm. And so the controversy is that Smug got iced. He was so hot, and then he had to sit there and wait for 5 minutes, give Tokido 5 minutes to kind of recollect and figure out what he was doing wrong or what adjustments needed to be made. And then Tokido kind of handled him 3-1, I think it was, after the reset.
Yeah, and I mean, almost every big name commented on this. I mean, mm-hmm. Ultra David, Snake Eyes, Punk. I don't know if we have the tweets up, but I mean, I could read them if people want.
There's people in E-League that like I think Mena just said, I'm really angry. He didn't specifically say that this was like an injustice, but he's like, I'm really angry about this. Remember, Alex Myers is like, what are you doing? Why is there a break right now? People were upset with breaks just in general because there were a lot of them. It was like one match, then a break, then another match, then a break, and then like an analysis, and then another break, and then a match. So it was like, it was pretty spaced out. It was very, very esports in nature as far as how much time was in between matches and sets and such.
But yeah, overall, people have either come out and said this was awful or it was unfortunate, but maybe didn't decide things. But I mean, no one seems real positive on it, is I guess what I'm getting towards.
I mean, is that how you guys feel? Like, I guess we should just go around the horn and kind of get opinions as to, like, do you think this was a bad thing to begin with or what?
I'm on the more conservative side, where I think that it is not a huge deal in general to have a few minutes in between the sets. It's been confirmed by the Gwinnett Brawl people and by various people who were there that they were told there would be a break if it was to reset. So this wasn't a surprise to the players, which is a pretty big deal. And I think if, say, Tokido had sat at character select for a few minutes, you know, people would have been like, wow, what great strategy, you know? Like, I don't think it would have been a huge deal. That being said, as Steve mentioned, there was a lot of breaks in E-League, and I just think it was ugly. Less so than I think it ruined Smug's chances of winning E-League. I think they should strategize around it more. Brian F. had a really good thread on Twitter that basically described why it could have been an awesome moment for them instead of a controversy. And I suggest you go read that.
He talked mostly about how he was upset not because it broke momentum, but because it broke the flow of the story. You know, if you got to see the players and how they responded to that reset and, you know, the attempt to regather themselves, seeing Tokido, you know, what he does to try and reset the situation, seeing Smug knowing that, okay, he's halfway there, but now he's got to do it again. You know, that would be a moment where we learn a little bit more about the players, connect more to the players, tell a better story about this tournament.
You know, and that sounds like a legitimate thing, both on the side of, like, you know, you have your audience that's upset with these breaks, but then you have the E-League people, TBS and whatever, trying to make this digestible presentation. Like, it's an entertainment package for them, right? To have people watch and then, you know, pay attention to and everything. And so using this to, I appreciate that idea, because it's not just, I'm pissed off that there was a break, and I'm pissed off that I had to stop watching for a minute and whatever. And then you could also venture into, like, well, it was bad for the players to make that argument and stuff. But, like, this actually has somewhere to go, right? And it's like, okay, E-League, you know, you can do this kind of thing, but you would also benefit, you know, as the people presenting, if you make this more into a narrative and such. And, like, this is a new thing. Putting fighting games and video games in general on TV, it's like, it's a new process, right? And so there's going to be all these kinks. Like, last year, we had grand finals. It was a really wonky format.
Yeah, like 4 out of 7 for the winner.
And yeah, like, yeah. And it's like, yeah, it's going to be some growing pains figuring things out. The Capcom Pro Tour has gone through growing pains of figuring out the you know, good mediums between what they imagine is good and then what's actually good and such. And it's like, yeah, we're going to get this down. Give it some time. And so maybe this break here was not the best thing in the world. I personally am like, you know what? E-League's putting up, you know, all in all, $250,000. It's getting a whole bunch of eyes that wouldn't normally be on this game and on this community on it. It's giving opportunities to these players to get out there in front of more cameras and you know, realize the dream, if you will. And so, like, for me, maybe it could be better, but even if it wasn't better, and even if this was how they were going to play it from here on out, and they're going to do more E-Leagues every year, and there's going to be a break if there's a reset in grand finals, I'm like, I'll take that. Because at the end of the day, they're giving a lot to this community in doing what they're doing here. So it's like, I personally wasn't too upset with it. It's like, maybe it could be better, but at the end of the day, it was well worth what they're giving us.
I'd just like to interrupt real quick to thank one of our subscribers, Any Super.
Thank you.
Thanks, bud. When Efren's back, we'll have clap gifts back if you guys really enjoyed this.
Oh, God.
So. Mm-hmm. So just wait maybe a week, one more week.
I would say that, you know, my big issue wasn't so much that, you know, I agree that it broke up the flow of the event. I agree that it would have been better served to just let them take that break, let them marinate it live, and see what would have happened there. But what I saw right in the immediate aftermath of the event was a feeling that the break called the event into question, that it deprived Smug of his momentum, and I wasn't on board with that.
Yeah, no way. I agree.
You know, I compare it to the Super Bowl. You know, the Super Bowl, you know, going in that halftime is longer than halftime of other games, that the pregame show, that all the festivities mean that there's a lot more standing around compared to a regular season game. But in that instance, just like this, both sides of both players have to deal with it. It's basically the same rules applying to both players. So, and even if there wasn't that break, Tokido absolutely would have taken, you know, 2-3 minutes to take it to character select, regather himself, and breathe. So I don't think that it was quite as bad from a competition standpoint as people were making it out to be. I would be happy if they do it again next year, that they don't have that break. But, you know, I don't think it's necessarily the end of the world if it does.
Yeah. It'll be nice when we have, like,
motivated by people just being upset because it was a break in the action. And for the audience, it was a little bit hard to digest because everyone was on the edge of their seat. It was an action-packed, you know, evening, and this was the height of all of it. It was a climax. It's like the guy you didn't expect to get past the first round just 3-0'd the dude you expected to win the whole thing in grand finals and reset. And so you're all on the edge of your seat, and then you have to all of a sudden take this break that you're not accustomed to either, because we don't usually have this kind of thing happening in grand finals. And so a lot of people were just mad, and I think it was easier to go and say, oh, this is a disservice to the players. This is illegitimizing the event as a whole. And I think a lot of that was said in that emotion. I would venture to guess that if you went back to a lot of the people that were saying those kinds of things in the moment, they might have changed their tune by now because the emotion has subsided. But, yeah.
I think that's exactly right. Yeah, I mean, you pretty much took the words out of my mouth. So,
now, there's one thing I did want to bring up. I just got a look at the initial ratings for the E-League broadcast for the finals. It brought in about 118,000 viewers at the 11 o'clock Eastern hour. Compare that to last year, which brought in 335,000. Now, my big question is, how much of that was because last year's finals were live versus this year's finals being broadcast on Twitch first and then being re-aired on TBS?
It's a huge change for sure. Yeah. It's really hard to say with TV numbers, obviously, because we don't know a lot about TV numbers as far as the FGC goes. We have a few of these events.
I don't know what else was on at that time and all those kind of
things. A lot of those things are decided by things that aren't really the content, what came on before, what came on after, so... I don't have a lot of the
K-Brad Wolfcrone drama buildup. I don't know if that had something to do with getting, like, you know, the more, I guess, TMZ crowd, if you will, to watch. And it does kind of suck, though, that when you look at that, like, the bottom line is like a third of the viewership from last year. So.
And, you know, this sort of brings up a thought that I've had about E-League for a while. It's that it feels to me that they see Street Fighter, they see fighting games as this great experiment. You know, they have their established formula for Counter-Strike, for the games that they're super familiar with. But when they bring Street Fighter on, that's when they try the wacky stuff. That's when they bring the cop on. That's when they start the reality show. That's when they air the finals first and then re-edit it or rebroadcast it later for TV. I don't know how strongly they feel about Street Fighter, if they really want to do a third version of this or not. That remains to be seen, but it's something I worry about a little bit.
Yeah, time will tell, but I mean, I wouldn't be super surprised if they didn't have it next year. And then really, like, and this is a whole other conversation to have, but like fighting game execution in the esports realm is kind of, I don't know how to go about it right now. And there are a lot of things to talk about in that avenue. So I guess we shouldn't probably go down that rabbit hole too far, but time will tell. It'll be interesting to see how things play out in this chapter and whatever the next one is.
Yeah. And I think a big thing to take away is what you said, which is that now that a little bit of time has passed, I think people realize, and I hope realize, that the break didn't ruin the integrity of the event. I would hope that you wouldn't think that. This was pre-planned. Right. They need to run ads at some point, and maybe they can think of better times to do it. But I don't think it changed the outcome, and I don't think – and if it did, it certainly wasn't their fault. It was the player's fault, you know?
I mean, at the end of the day, E-League is a television broadcast. They're not coming in to be – to provide charity for the FGC or for whoever they work with. They're there to create a show that will bring in ratings, that will bring in interest, that will bring in viewers. Mm-hmm. So – the decisions they make are going to be in from that point of view. The question is, can we work with them to create something that appeases both, that makes both parties happy? Because the one thing they largely been good about, they took some steps back this year, but the one thing they've largely been good about is if there's criticism, if there's something that's seen as a big problem, they have gone back, reworked it, and done it in a way that the FGC as a whole has been more receptive of. We'll see if that happens, if there's even an opportunity for it, for that to happen.
Well, moving on, never short of controversy. People have been talking about input lag again. We thought we had buried this hatchet, but we have not. Street Fighter V's input lag has been looked further into, and not only is it basically the laggiest game currently being played of the fighting games on PS4, the lag's inconsistency has been found to be consistent, if that makes any sense. Basically, the input lag varies somewhere from 4.5 to 6 frames, or 6.5, somewhere up to 7, somewhere in that range, and it consistently goes up and then drops back down, and then goes up again. So at any point in a match of Street Fighter, you may be playing in two completely different frames of lag.
Elon, can you – I have a graphic in there.
Oh, good. Great.
Should be able to pull that up just so we can illustrate that. Here it is. So this is the amount of – by the way, this was brought up by – Twitter at WYDD. I don't know how it's pronounced, but he went in and he investigated a bunch of different games on PS4. He found that Street Fighter V was the only one that had a level of unpredictability in the amount of lag that would come. And this is what he discovered. At some point, at the start of a cycle, you would have 4 frames of lag, essentially. A few seconds later, it would go up to 5, go up to 6 a few seconds later. A few seconds later, it would go up to 7. And then once the cycle completes, which is about a minute, it would drop back down to 4. And this would repeat again and again. He tried it on different stages, in different situations. This cycling has been consistent in his findings.
And as a programmer, this makes some degree of sense. At some point, they're like recycling all the extra memory or something like that. But it's unfortunate that it works this way, because it seems to be the only game, as you mentioned, that has a problem nearly this drastic. And games Blaze Blue are consistently around 2 to 3 frames of lag the entire time, let alone 4 at their best and 7 at their worst.
Mm-hmm.
And it should be pointed out that the other 3 games that show a low level of stability are all 30th anniversary games. Yeah. In the initial test, WID ran the games on turbo mode. And part of what happens in turbo mode is, in order to keep the speed up, the game will occasionally just delete a frame here and there. So once that's accounted for, the stability of those games came up to about 90-ish percent or so. So it's basically just a Street Fighter V problem, just a Street Fighter V on PS4 problem.
Yeah, no, I've noticed that. I mean, I've played the game on PC, and it honestly feels a lot better. And it's... what do you say at this point? I mean, it's been years now, right? We've known this issue, and now that we've had it quantified, I'm going to be honest, it's worse than I thought it was, and that's a little sad. I thought it was going to be maybe less bad than I thought it was, but no, it's worse. It's way more inconsistent. This is what we run tournaments on, but I guess if I'm being honest, I don't know what this means. Like, what do we do about it? Like, well, I doubt Capcom will fix it.
Obviously, there was the infamous like 8 frames of lag, and I think it was actually a little bit below 8 frames, but we rounded it to 8.
We rounded it to 8.
7 point. Yeah, if it's 7.x, it will occasionally be 8, so we just call it 8.
Sure. Now, okay, so I guess in the findings from Y whatever D, okay, so from those findings, it never went above 7, right? So Capcom did actually reduce it. Because right, my first
that's been confirmed.
Like, okay, yeah, so it's like, because maybe it was back in the day, we clocked it and it happened to be at the high point, and then...
No, they fixed the frame. There was like a legacy drivers issue. That's been confirmed.
Okay. So, all right. We've been playing on this since the beginning with this fluctuation. So this is new information for the community, but it's not an actual like new truth that like all of a sudden now you're playing on a weirdly laggy game. It's like it's still consistently shitty, if you will, since the beginning. And when you're playing, I mean, I've been playing it since the beginning, and I haven't noticed like this being a specific issue, I guess. I mean, and of course, like there are going to be times where that one frame is going to mess with you and your timing. But again, Street Fighter V, like there aren't one frame links and things like that. So like the dependency to hit like a really precise window isn't there. So like technically, it's not the worst thing in the world. On paper, this looks really bad. And it's not to say that this isn't a bad thing and I wish it weren't in the game. But when you practically apply it to how things have played out, the consistency of certain players in tournament, things like that, it's like I don't feel like in actual, like, I guess, application or in actual experience, it's been as bad as what this like on paper thing looks like. If that's at all a saving grace to the situation, like it's not a good look for Capcom. It's not a good look for Street Fighter V. But I think it helps to remind ourselves that like we've been playing in this the entire time. Nothing has actually changed. Just what we know about it has changed.
I mean, we're talking about a situation where there's a difference of 3 frames of lag in the same round. You know, it's somewhat
coincidentally.
No other game is dealing with this. Why? I just would love to know. I wish that we had some people who were willing to break some non-disclosure agreements, because I would love to hear what the heck is going on in there. I really would. You could probably make a 30 for 30 about that.
I was going to say, like, the behind the music of Street Fighter V is going to be a great one.
God.
But, you know, I want to ask Valle when he comes on about this as well. Just, like, how do we digest this? As like, do we suddenly go, this game is not legitimate? You know, I mean, this is much more of an argument for illegitimacy than a break in grand finals, right? And I personally wouldn't venture to that spot. Like, we've been playing it, we've been having fun, we've had these tournament circuits, we've had a lot of excitement and watching, you know, people win and lose and all this stuff. It's like it's still the same entity that we've always had. It's just I'm having a hard time processing this and kind of deciding how I really feel about it. You know, and like, I wish it wasn't there, but it is what's here. It's what's in front of us to play. And it, so many times we've had to kind of make that compromise. It's like, yeah, Street Fighter V, you have XYZ problems, but you're Street Fighter and I want to play you. So I'll deal with it and continue to play. And it's like, when is that legit breaking point going to actually, when are we actually going to get to that breaking point when people actually say something like this is too much and we're not going to play the game anymore? And I'm not trying to usher people to that. Let me be very clear. Like, I want this game to thrive. I want esports and fighting games to continue to grow. But damn, like, issue after issue, I'm getting nervous.
Well, here's the thing. What other option do you have? If you want to play fighting games for big money, you know, Street Fighter is the only real option there is.
Right. And
running on PC as of yet isn't an option. So guess what? You got to deal with this.
Well, yeah, interesting question for Riot. Their backs completely and just say, well, I mean, it was fun playing fighting games while it lasted competitively. I'm just going to go play Third Strike or play 4 or whatever, the ST, the game that I'm used to, just casually with my friends, but I'm not going to embrace this whole current chapter and esports movement and everything because there's just so many problems that in quality of life.
I said this last generation of games, and I'm going to say it again for this one and mean it more for real. If the next big fighting game isn't a free-to-play PC game that's consistently updated, I'm going to fall behind. That's where it's got to be.
It does. I have Fortnite only because I turned on my PS4 one day and it's like, hey, you want this game for free that everyone's playing? And it's like, yeah, I'll download it for free and in 10 minutes I'll have it and I can dick around and like play it if I want. Put money into customizing my characters. And you know when you do that kind of a thing is when you really fall in love with a game and you're like, yeah, it's now worth it to me to put my actual money into like just changing what my character looks like. It's like you've earned that as a development and as a development company and as a game creator. You earn your fans and your audiences appreciation and trust, and then they buy more from you, and it's all in good faith, especially if you're obviously giving away the game for free. And after kind of thinking about it last night, I'm like, you know, if Street Fighter 6 or whatever comes next, fighting games in general coming down the pike, if they don't adopt at least more of this approach, and it's probably not apples to apples when you're talking about League of Legends or Overwatch or Fortnite and all this stuff, you know, and not to say that I don't think Overwatch is free. I don't know. Anyways, it's not apples to apples with fighting games. Fighting games are a different entity, and there are other changes that will need to be made. But at the end of the day, if you don't copy at least a good portion of what these guys are doing, because it's what's working and it's what's becoming the standard, not only are people going to hope for this, they're going to expect it. If you're not delivering, it's like you're going to fall by the wayside, which is, I think, what you were getting at, Mike. It's like I'm afraid. I'm afraid for the future right now.
But my question to that is, you know, who's going to make the leap? Because we've seen it time and time and time again. You know, it's so, so difficult for a new fighting game IP to thrive. I mean, Skullgirls is a niche title, you know, and that's a game that did a lot of things right. Eunice is still a niche title, and that's a game that does a lot of things right. You know, the only games that are really going to move the needle in terms of sales, in terms of market penetration like that, I feel are going to be the Tekkens, the Street Fighters, and the Mortal Kombats of the world. Maybe a game like Dragon Ball FighterZ that has, you know, a big key license behind it, but I don't know. Is League of Fighters or whatever that Rising Riot Thunder sequel, the Riot fighting game, will that be the one to do it? I don't know.
Well, yeah, speaking of fighting games trying to move that needle, Fighting EX Layer does have new free characters.
Ooh, yes. Cool. They announced I just closed my link. I'm sorry. Pullum is one of them, and then I forget the other one off the top of my head. Vulcano Rosso. They are going to be added to the game down the line. They will be free, according to Arika, with more details to be announced at Evo.
Wasn't Vulcano Rosso one of the characters during the Street Fighter V like character poll?
Yeah, I think so.
That we highlighted for like way too long on the show.
Yes, I'm pretty sure
we highlighted all those characters for way too long. Let's be real.
A few more quick notes as far as news this week. A few free agencies, notably Rob TV and Sparrow Ginn of Street Fighter and Tekken, respectively, are now free agents.
Yeah, excuse me. Rob is, his contract under Hazardous has come to an end. They are in negotiations, but he is open to new teams, and Hazardous has been supportive of him in that. Sparrow Ginn is one of several players impacted by Velocity Esports deciding to cut ties with all of its players. So Sparrowgin and Trey Pound, the most notable names in the FGC under that banner.
You know, with Rob, that's interesting that he's with Hazard. Is that what it is? Hazard.
Yes.
So it's like Rob was he's been kind of like on the grind as far as getting, you know, notoriety. I know he's been doing YouTube videos and such, and then now he's kind of emerged as like a legitimate player in tournament as well, taking out some big names and then obviously being on the E-League Challenger. So he's really like in his prime as far as things have gone thus far. Like, he's never been in a better state. So for them to like let the contract kind of lapse or whatever, or I mean, I don't know the specifics of the situation, but he's a lot more valuable now than he was, I mean, I think when he initially got signed, and I don't know exactly when that was, probably a year ago, right? But it's interesting to me to see. It's like he's like an up and comer. He's like a rising star. He's one of those guys you want to get in and strike a deal now, make it cheap. And then that way, if he continues to grow and expand and blow up, then you already got him on your team. So interesting to me. But again, I don't know all the details. So,
and I mean, he's already been on national TV. So hopefully he continues to improve, make deep runs at events, and find something that works for him and for his either old team or new team. So, also along that vein, there are some Reddit Evo sponsorship updates as within the last couple days. Our Street Fighter is trying to send 4 players to Evo. They've completed the funding of 2 of them, in Eyedrop and El Chicote, and then they are hoping to raise 1,300 more in order to send Neon and Tega to Evo. So still some time left. Check reddit.com/r/streetfighter to see how you can help contribute that.
Before we get into Kappa,
go ahead.
Let's thank Trevzor for subscribing to the channel.
Yes.
Appreciate that, Trev.
And then our Kappa, not to be outdone, they have successfully funded FAB, Japanese Guilty Gear player. So he will be in the Evo field this year.
Wait, I gotta figure out the R Street Fighter players, because I've now made it my mission ever since Combo Breaker to send all the R Street Fighter players home from the tournament.
Oh, I yeah, put those since, on my list. Since you took out Tourniquet, yes.
Yeah, I'm coming for you. Also, if R Street Fighter, if you guys want to sponsor me, that's fine too.
So how would you send yourself home? Would you DQ yourself?
I'm pretty good at doing that. I've done that at every single tournament that I've ever entered for Street Fighter V thus far. So don't worry about that, Steve.
Congratulations.
And then finally, and perhaps the biggest name of the people said so far, Knuckledew, who has spent the greater part of the last few months sponsored by his own wallet, has been hinting heavily that he will be sponsored soon, saying that he has big news coming up.
He did that at NorCal. He's like, next week I'm going to reveal something
he did.
Big.
So, I mean, who knows what he's doing, but this time he was very straightforward about what he was referring to. So, who knows?
Can either of you, because I can't, can either of you see a legitimate situation where you, as Knuckledew, who could have his pick of sponsors as far as I understand it, would go so long without one? Like, I mean, outside of maybe some personal reasons that you would never be able to guess, I don't see why you would do that as a player. And I've talked to him like at events, and he's like, you know, this, I didn't realize it, but like, it's really expensive to do all this stuff by yourself, you know, the hotel fee and, you know, the travel and the food and everything, way overpriced. Obviously, anytime you go to one of these events and stuff, it's like, it's really expensive. Why would you ever do that as if you're Knuckledew?
It may not be the perfect decision as far as taking a long time. But, I mean, he's obviously, like, I mean, you get locked into these things, and I'm assuming, like, what you get locked into is more important when your life is playing Street Fighter. So I understand why it's important for him to shop around and pick the best, you know, the best pick for him. Because if he decides, I'm going to do this, and he's, you know, screwed over for the better part of a year, then that is not good for him. But at the same point, you know, if you're paying for yourself for the entire year, then that's not any better, so... I think he's come to that, you know, point of equilibrium where he's finally found one and has run out of time. So That's my take.
And the other thing to keep in mind too is that he came into a little bit of change a while back, so he has the freedom to go to whichever events he wants to, and more specifically, not go to events he doesn't want to. If you get sponsored, if you have a contract, there's certainly expectations of, well, you have to go to X number of events. You have to attempt, you have to really grind to make sure you're in Capcom Cup. So our sponsor name will be out there. You know, that might not be what he wants. You know, he's been playing a lot of Fortnite as of late. he can do what he wants. So maybe this is, he found a deal where, hey, I can still have the freedom I want, and, you know, it will be something that works for both parties.
Well, we've got 10 minutes until we'll be joined by no other than Mr. Alex Valle himself, so we'll get through a few more things that happened throughout the week pretty quickly. The Esports Awards nominations have been announced, and there were a few fighting game titles in there, and then also a Smash title.
Oh, wow, really?
So, that happened.
Dragon Ball FighterZ, or Dragon Ball Fighters, I keep calling it Z, nominated for both Esports Game of the Year and Esports Breakout Game of the Year. Melee was also nominated for Esports Game of the Year. Surprisingly, Capcom got nominated for Publisher of the Year, not Bandai Namco.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense. With everything that Bandai has done this year,
it just seems strange to me that they like Street or they don't like Street or they like Dragon Ball as a game.
Yeah,
it's a breakout game. It has a world tour. There's also this tour for Tekken that's doing really well, which, hey, also happens to be under the Bandai Namco banner, and yet somehow that. They like the game, not the publisher.
Rigged.
Don't like Street Fighter V, but they do like Capcom enough to put them in the category. I don't know.
The only thing I can think of is that they decided they wanted one fighting game, and they chose the one with the most money as the publisher. So, from the inside, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
CPT is still going strong. You know, we're in year three of Street Fighter. I don't see how else the game would be doing as well as it still is somehow without the CPT. So Capcom does deserve credit for that.
Certainly.
One other thing while we're on this subject, and I'm not certain this is accurate, so maybe I'm completely wrong here, but I think one other category was Esports Photographer of the Year. And if this is the event that I'm thinking about, I think Vexany, Stephanie Lindgren, is on that ballot. So if I don't know if voting is still open or not, she's the one that captured that amazing photo of Sonic Fox after he defeated Goichi at Combo Breaker. She does really good work, and so I would. I don't think Chris Bond, who I think is in the chat right now, is on the list. So otherwise, I would say you have to vote for him as well. But. Bonus, and that's fine too. But yeah, I would encourage you vote for Stephanie because she does a really great job.
Yep, both she and Robert Paul, Tempest Rob, got nominated for Esports Photographer of the Year. So congratulations to both of them.
Yeah.
And then another quick one: CEO Taku announced their game list, which is quite extensive, and we have that up on the screen. You have everything. I mean, they also announced the order of entrance. I know Dragon Ball FighterZ was the most popular, followed by Guilty Gear Rev 2. But you have a whole host of things from popular anime games you usually see at tournaments to Sailor Moon S. And I believe it's probably the first huge tournament for SNK Heroines as well. So it's gonna be fun. I went last year, I think. It was either last year or the year before, and it's a really good tournament.
You know, CEO, they live up to whatever theme they run better than any event out there. You know, what they did with the stage for CEO Taku the last couple of years has been amazing. What they do for Dreamland is great. Obviously, the ring for CEO Prime, I guess, what we're calling it. I have no idea.
Regular ass CEO. That's the official headline.
But yeah, so that should be a fun one.
And then as our final tidbit of news, Smash had their harassment policy updated, which I didn't aware existed in the first place, but that happened.
Yes.
And it's serious, of course. I mean, I'm just saying I wasn't even aware there was a policy.
Yes, this was, if you'll remember, after some high-profile issues, or at least accusations of harassment within Smash, a bunch of TOs and figures got together to form a committee to create a sort of unified rule set to bring everything on board, get everybody all together on that. The big issue with that is they updated earlier this week that they could not implement their policy because one player who they did not name has been charged and has been sued for harassment, but the TOs fear banning them because this person has threatened litigation against any tournament that bans him. So that started a discussion, got a couple of lawyers in the esports field involved, including Ultra David. So hopefully that gets
resolved. Steve, tell the chat what litigation means.
Somebody getting sued.
Oh, okay.
And I'd like to update outside of that with Blue, who I know is very invested in the anime scene, just updated us with the fact that the inclusion of Dragon Radar events on the Dragon Ball FighterZ Pro Tour.
I forgot. That's a pretty good deal. I threw that in there.
Yeah, no, I mean, these are going to be, so there's going to be more offline events that give you prizes and then flights to the actual Dragon Ball bearing events, which I think is pretty cool. So ups on them for adding more to that. Because obviously, I mean, that's a pretty big prize for first place to get flown out to another event itself.
It's on a little Nimbus. And it's not,
yeah, and it's not just any event. It's the Saga event of their choosing.
Okay.
So if they want to go to the Latin America one to try their luck there, they can. So, yeah, that will be fun.
And I think with that, you know, we've talked about most of the news of the week. And for the first time in a while, we actually have a guest on. So I think John's going to be joining me on that.
Yeah.
Yep. Sorry, my headphones are actually cut out right now. There we go. So yeah, we're going to be moving on to that. And give me one short. Well, Steve, go ahead.
Do we have time for a question of the day?
Oh, you know what? I'm totally wrong. Sorry about that. Let's do question of the day.
Cool. Everyone's
better at this than I am.
That's it. You're fired. And then I fired myself. So see ya. No. We, you know, talking about free agency, we took to Twitter and asked, you know, what unsigned player out there should get picked up and why. Christian Cordero went with Toxin, said he's one of the few best Ermac players back in the days of MKX, and although he doesn't play much in Justice 2, he's very skillful in DBFZ and should get another chance with a sponsorship. Handa 711 went with Rock Pond, a great Monat player in Taiwan that beats top pros all the time. The Hay clearly went with Wizrobe, being a top 10 melee player and a top 64 player with a good following, potential to be a top player in Ultimate as well. Alex Myers was one of a few people who suggested Gachi-kun, super consistent, host Topanga, cool guy too, definitely would like to see him get picked up by a big team. Jacob Dye went with Kakoma, who has been doing great on Tekken World Tour, highest rated player in the TWT standings, who is currently not sponsored. So he is well on his way to a spot in the Tekken World Tour finals. And We wrap it up with Joy Redmond, who might be a little biased in this. Maybe a hair. But went with Cool Kid. Truly dedicated, passionate, and encouraging player. Has won a few recognizable tournaments, but is always placed out of pools at major events. With the right esports family, he can become and maintain a position at the top player, as a top player in the U.S. Again, she might be a little bit biased. A little bit. But thank you to everyone who answered.
Yeah, we always appreciate that. We have the question of the day. Unfortunately, because we are ill-prepared, and I'm going to blame myself for this one, we don't currently have a block grab lined up, and instead we just have a really great interview with one of the most important members of the scene. So consider yourselves grateful.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
No, all but right. Yeah, we're going to be signing off with Steve, and John and I are going to interview Alex Valle as soon as he's on.
All right. Good night, everybody. Good night, Canada.
Love you, Steve.
So I'm being told we're going to run a 2-minute ad here, and I know at least like 3/4 of you aren't going to see it. So we'll keep talking in the meantime. Oh, you weren't aware of that, John?
Yeah.
You always watch the ads on Twitch?
Every single time.
Well, that's good because we are at certain points sponsored by Twitch, so we appreciate that, and they appreciate that, and you should watch as many ads as you humanly can. But yeah, I'm excited to have, Valle is, I believe, Best of Five's most common interviewee, and that is because he is so important to the FGC as a whole. We're going to be talking about a few topics. We have SCR coming up, obviously, which he plays a huge hand in. The esports arena and him locating into Northern California as well as Southern California, so basically taking over the entire state. Some funny stuff that happened with people on commentary's own tournament and a variety of other things. And yes, we are still waiting on that to get ready to go. What's your next tournament you're going to, John?
I had to turn him off because I had to get
by. Okay, we had to turn off John so we can get me on. So I am vamping solo right now. I'm going to admit that. I'm stretching things out. We're getting things going. I can do a solo block grab. If the chat gives me good enough things to block or grab on, I will do a lightning round. So, yeah, let's do it. Blocker. Yeah, exactly. Trezor has the same idea I do. Block or grab during commercial status. Oh, man. I didn't aware. Yes, I did say I didn't aware. And I didn't aware of that when I said it. Because it's been a really long week. And I've been doing a lot of new things, getting ready for law school coming up. Steak with I hate ketchup. Ketchup's my least favorite thing in the entire world. I'm actually not kidding about that. So no, we're gonna block. Best cami, I have to go with NL, who is also to me the most impressive player. Period, in a lot of ways. Maybe not 100% overall, but I think he's the best cami for sure. If you want to see me sing karaoke, you can go to my Twitter. I posted a video of me driving back from the Red Bull Dallas event singing Fall Out Boy. Yun and SF5, that's a block. Is a hot dog a sandwich? That's a block.
Are you block grabbing by yourself?
Yes, I'm solo block grabbing. And thankfully, John and Alex Valle are finally joining me so I can stop solo block grabbing things in the chat.
We saved him.
You're doing so great. You're doing so good.
Oh, I appreciate that, Alex. Well, how are you doing?
Ah, fantastic, man. It's I'm in Oakland, okay. And I make this silly joke where, I live in SoCal, and to drive from Orange County to the Valley takes much longer than to fly from Orange County to Oakland. So, that's SoCal traffic. That's what we have to deal with every Wednesday for people to try to sign up on time.
That's why.
Yeah.
So you're definitely busy year round, but where does July fall and how busy you are? Obviously SCR is in the future, upcoming. Evo's around the corner. How busy is Alex Valle right now?
Just about 7 days a week. Like, I try to break away and enjoy some great eats towards the later in the evening. But there's always something. And, you know, if I'm out there like looking for opportunities or just replying to community feedback, that stuff doesn't sleep because I handle it globally now. It's not just what we do with America. It's like with the online events going on across like the seas and everything. So there's a bunch of stuff going on, man. So yeah, it's time to catch up.
Speaking of talking to the community and such, we have a lot to talk about here. So I just want your kind of hot take on this, but people do look to you as like, you know, Mr. Street Fighter wisdom, fighting game wisdom. You've been around for a while. You've seen a lot of situations. We were talking earlier about this new development and their understanding of the input lag with Street Fighter V. And I just wanted to get your, like I said, hot take, just take a minute to talk about this, but how are you reacting? How should we be reacting to this? You know, are we upset? Is this like a really big, bad deal? Or is it like not as big of a thing as it looks like on paper?
It sucks, dude. I tell you straight up, it sucks because I was one of the first ones when I went to Final Round 2016 for the Street Fighter V tournament. It had over like 1,000 entrants, right? It was an amazing time to see that many entrants for a game first year, right? We're like, dope. And some people played it on PC, some people played it on PS4, but of course you're playing on PS4. But I was one of the first ones to like say, hey, this game is so much faster and smoother on PC. What the hell? Because I had Filipino Champs PC, like his laptop right next to us, and then there's like a games case, and the Japanese and the internationals are doing money matches there, and I'm all telling them, hey, look, play on the PC one, and they play, and they're like, oh, much better, much better, right? And I'm like, oh crap, this sucks. So there's something wrong. Like, this is the 8-frame world. So yeah, that was just the start of the chaos, and it sucks because we've been used to for so many years playing games that are, you know, what, Street Fighter 4 is about like 4,
yeah,
you know,
like,
and the classics are between like what, 2 to 3. So it's just that adjustment is way too large, and for it to have to continue, you know, even though they've made strides to lessen it, it's not enough, you know, so, because a lot of the players are making sacrifices, you know, to do this full time. And they have to deal with it, and it's just something they have to suck up. But it is affecting, it has affected players for at least a good year and a half. They had, you know, it took them that long to adapt to what the speed is now. So all we can do now is just hope there is going to be a change if not on season 4, or we have to wait for the next version of Street Fighter or something. So, yeah.
So you were one of the original people spreading what maybe the solution to this issue, which was the gospel of PC Street Fighter V. You ran that for a long time at Wednesday Night Fights. And, you know, we've seen ups and downs of PC SF5 throughout the years. I thought it was great at South by Southwest, but the other week they had to stop a tournament and switch it over to PS4. Do you think it's practical?
No, absolutely not.
No, it's not. Okay.
I can tell you that because, all right. It takes, in order to make it right, we'd have to stress test all the machines with all the possible scenarios of having, you know, the peripherals already pre-installed. And that's like, we're thinking about what, 10, 20? Different variables of converters and whatever they got underneath the hood of their sticks and their control pad. And after that, when we start the tournament, it's, you know, there's a lot of troubleshooting that people are not aware of. Like, PC's been on too long, so, you know, random maintenance that has been overlooked. People, sometimes we don't turn off the, like, oh, hey, you know, postpone maintenance for like, you know, an hour, 2 hour, 3 before it goes to sleep, you know, that will turn off. There's a lot of little intricacies. And to us in the fighting game community, that sucks, right? But if you look at every other genre of esports, that's normal to them. They're like, oh, hey, it's a grand championship match. Oh, there's a little lag there. Okay, let us stop it. And then go to the troubleshooting break. It's like so normal for them. But for us, it's a nightmare because We need every single one of those frames, you know, to calculate a win. They don't. They can just kind of walk around and then, like, oh, cool, I'm going to stop my little beam or whatever and then start it off later. And they have dedicated servers. It's just those games are so well built for PCs, and fighting games are not yet. I mean, we still got some ways to go.
Yeah, fingers crossed for the next chapter.
Yeah,
absolutely. So sorry to kick this off with a little bit of negativity there, I guess, but I do think it's something that needs to be talked about, and absolutely valued what you have as your input on it all. But you said you are in NorCal, yet I see, and I don't know if everyone else can see this, but I see a Wednesday Night Fights logo behind you because you have officially moved Wednesday Night Fights, a secondary Wednesday Night Fights, right? Now up north.
Yes.
Which is exciting, but there are a lot of questions that come along with that. You're going to run side by side with SoCal Wednesday Night Fights? Are you going to call it something different? Is it going to cannibalize your viewers? There's a lot to get into here. But first, if you want to just kind of give us an overview of what it is you're doing, you're starting new Wednesday Night Fights up in NorCal. How's that going for you?
Yes. So I am in the Esports Arena, Oakland. This is actually my second visit. First visit was during Bay Area Brawl, which had nearly 300 competitors, and it ran really smooth. Everybody here was amazing. It's like the last time I've been to NorCal for such a big event was, I would believe, NCR, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's great to see everybody back at it again. And this actually has been a two-year-long project, you know, behind the scenes. You know, Esports Arena in Orange County, I have to call it now. I can't just say Esports Arena now. It's mm-hmm. always like where I'm at. So it's Esports Arena Orange County, Esports Arena Oakland. It's something I'm getting used to. But Esports Arena in general has been, like, tremendous for us, for our growth, the partnership to getting everybody together, because this type of venue doesn't really exist in many regions. So,
yeah.
You know, we're there taking full advantage of, you know, where we're placing so many games and so many streams. And it was just so decked out for, you know, for our vision to grow. So once we heard the big news that, like, you know, I was talking to the bosses of Esports Arena, they're like, hey, Vi, guess where our next facility is going to be at? And I'm like, where that? It's all, we're going up north. I'm like, San Francisco? Close, we're to Oakland. I'm like, great. So I think, you know, we could figure out something to where we can, once we figure out, you know, how Wednesday Night Fights is evolving in Orange County, we can figure out a plan and how to make it happen up there, because it just seems that the weekly events in NorCal, which are still ongoing, they don't have something to where it involves everybody. Like, there's little factions here and there of places. Like, there's three games here, two games here, four games there, but it's never like something they have to wait until like a major or regional to happen. So and you know, I pay close attention to that. You know, I talk to a lot of the community members to see like what would they like, you know, what games they would like to play and stuff. And you know, it's all about growing it together, and that's what Wednesday Night Fights evolved in SoCal, because it did start as Street Fighter, then we added Tekken, and then the mm-hmm. anime games, you know, like Smash and everything. And it just, you know, Jimmy and I worked so hard over the years to make it like the modern arcade, but on a Wednesday. So you know, after Esports Arena Oakland opened, you know, it was just a matter of implementing our current model that's in SoCal up here, and it's still, you know, having the experience of communicating with the right people to help us, you know, bring everybody together, because it's not just, you know, me and Jimmy, it's the community too. The community has to step up to make these things happen.
Oh yeah.
And especially you see them now too, like in SoCal, the guys that, you know, like the Nick Tanella was like the first streamer, like a personal streamer that came up to me and goes, hey, is it cool if I stream on my channel? And I know you guys are busy on your mainstream, but I can take some of the pool matches. And I'm like, that's fantastic. And that kind of opened up having multiple streams at Wednesday Night Fights, because, you know, Nick Danella came on board, you know, Kevin Haas there. Now Max Damage TV does our variety stuff with a bunch of games. level up your game, which is Rift. Rift took over the Tekken channel, right? Mm-hmm. So Tekken is always there. So we saw this, and it was such a healthy, collaboration of just the entire fighting game community and 2GG, of course, was with Smash, that this was going to work up here. The NorCal scene is still a vibrant scene with everybody playing their favorite games, but now we're just going to put them together in one spot. So, yeah, there's so much more I wanted to discuss, but, like, I'm probably going to go all over the place and rant. So is there any specific questions you want to ask me about?
Well, I was just laughing because, I mean, apparently it's gotten big enough to where people at Wednesday Night Fights don't know who you are. We're laughing about the kid on commentary who was trying to figure out who Alex Valle was. How does that make you feel when your tournament's outgrown even yourself?
I'll tell you, I wasn't prepared at all. there's a lot of things going in my mind because I'm running, like, a bunch of tournaments that night. I'm always asked for help, like, either, you know, hey, we need somebody to do commentary, or like, oh, hey, I need help assigning somebody on stream or whatnot. And there was an opportunity for me to help with the casting, and then I saw somebody new. I'm like, okay, cool, you know, I'm gonna talk to him. Like, I usually have just a conversation, like, to break the ice. And then, you know, of our little introduction, he's like, hello, sir, who are you? I'm like, what? Like, who put him on here if he doesn't know where he's at? Right? I'm looking at Kyobi this entire time. That, you know, he runs our stream for the mainstream for Wednesday Night Fights, and I'm like, it was you to put him on? And he goes, hey, man, we needed a caster. We had nobody on. I'm like, okay, so let's roll with it. And I put a little humor into it, and you know, I took a little jabs, but at the end, you know, of course, it's about welcoming on. And hey, you know, I really love that you're taking initiative to commentate a game that you don't really know anything about. Like, not that many people do it. There's only a handful of us in the fighting game community that even steps to the plate. And I'm not just talking about somebody that just waves back in the camera and like, oh, look at me. I'm talking about somebody who just goes on the chair, sits down, and like, you know, handle business, because that is what's going to move this scene forward. Not just people memeing and just sitting and waiting around for an opportunity to land on their feet. So,
You know, there have been quite a few esports arenas that have been erected. You know, I think there's one in Vegas. I think, is it in Austin or is it Dallas? The one in Texas. And anyways, wherever it is, no one helping me out. Thanks, guys.
It's not in Austin.
So,
I promise,
like,
that
is the plan. Austin, yeah. Is the plan not to just get? Is the plan to get a Wednesday Night Fights in every major, like, fighting game area of the country and then beyond? Like, what's the end goal here? Because you've already kind of, like, going to monopolize California. You got the top and bottom of it. Where does it go from here?
That's a great question. I mean, I would love to see a Wednesday Night Fights or something like it. It doesn't have to be a Wednesday Night Fights. It's just because there's a lot of weeklies out there that are following our footsteps, because we've laid out the blueprint of, like, hey, let's have a weekly gathering at my friend's garage. They've been doing that stuff for years. That's nothing new. But we were one of the first ones to start streaming that, you know, ordeal, and putting talented players, talented, you know, wise men like James Chen to get on there and talk about things that, you know, what's good with the fighting game community, and started making a show, right? So, like, we kind of put these vehicles together with that's actually all Jimmy put technology and the logistics together. I'm like more of the talent, and then the community brainstorm, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, after weeks of doing this with some of the best guys, you know, you can probably tune in to a stream on any given week and see the same thing now, right? It's nothing new. It's like, it's eight, you know, we've been doing it for 8 years. So the difference is, I think, you know, there's like a plateau to where a lot of tournament organizers reach. Like, they don't know how to pass certain thresholds of, like, oh, I can't find a big enough venue, or I can't, you know, coordinate well with content producers, or I don't know how to, you know, create a show. You know, this just a lot of these worries. And I get these questions a lot too. So, you know, we besides our weekly events, we produce a lot of white label events. You know, for the Capcom Pro Tour, we do the online stuff. So we do high level productions. So it's not just like the little stuff. We mentor a lot of the current FGC talent, like the guys that are on the Red Bull Conquest. So Jimmy leads that initiative, and you see Yipes, you see Vicious, you see Ringe, Tasty Steve, and those guys. Those guys, can't, you know, we work really, really well with them. And Jimmy had made sure that to give them the right flow and the right presence to seeing like what Red Bull, how Red Bull should be. Should represent the fighting game community. So to answer your question, moving to other cities wouldn't be so bad. Like if I can grow them, right? Our main goal at the end of the day is always growing your town. Like, wouldn't you want a Wednesday night fights in, like, you know, pick a city that doesn't have one.
I don't think
anybody's gonna refuse that, right? And I hope people don't think like, oh, Level Up is just taking over, is monopolizing it. It's more of like, okay, if it's not us, then who do you want to step up and do it? Because nobody else is. And I think we're at the point where, yeah, I'm not getting younger. You know, I'm going to still compete here and there. Jimmy's not getting any younger, but if we want to move, make noise in the fighting game community and to grow it, you know, in the modern age, this is one of the routes, one of many routes to do it.
Yeah. You know, so there's a lot of expansion going on and such, but the more immediate situation is that you have moved up to NorCal. And so as far as I'm concerned, it sounds like you're going to have Wednesday night fights going on in SoCal and in NorCal at the same time. Are you worried at all about like, you know, cannibalizing your viewership or having to make people choose to go back and forth? Are you just hoping people have a lot of bandwidth and are going to open more, you know, multiple streams and different tabs and such?
Great question. So this has been the community's first concern, is about cannibalizing the current streams that are out there, because I know NLBC is freaking one of the best shows out there right now. Everybody watches it, they tune in, boom, right? And then they end kind of about the time that we start pools. So it's actually a pretty good transition from, like, East Coast to the West Coast. But then now we have to deal with NorCal, which is the same time relatively as the Orange County location. So Orange County's tournament scenes has to start at 9 p.m. or 9:30-ish, realistically, right? It's just due to traffic. People driving 2 hours out. It's just the way it is. We've tried changing the time, but it's not going to change. Oakland, on the other hand, is going to start at 8 p.m. Okay? And how the streams will start at 8, the tournaments will start at 8. Wishful thinking here, but they are. That's what we're hoping for. And they're going to start off with different stream channels. So for the grand opening, we're going to utilize Level Up Live, our main channel, up here to open up the show. So, and Level Up Live 2, which is our SoCal Regionals. It's usually like our SoCal Regional secondary mainstream channel will be utilized in Orange County. Now, we are going to do our best to showcase different games at different hours, so that way you're not seeing the same thing. So say like, if we start kick it off with Street Fighter up here, we may show like Blaze Blue or Tekken or something in SoCal. So and vice versa. And think of it also as a major presentation. You know, like a major tournament has like anywhere between 5 to 10 streams going on.
Sure.
Yeah. So we're going to present it similar to that too, and because it's under one roof. Right, it's under, you know, Esports Arena and Level Up. We're all going to piggyback on the promotions of these streams to make it look like a major's stream programming lineup. Okay, and versus you gotta dig through so many cities and towns and players to find like what you're looking for. So you'll see all the streams, what they're playing, who's up, And it's not just us as well, our community partner streams, which actually I would like to announce here. The guys that have been kicking ass at NorCal, the guys have been stepping up, you know, ever since Esports Arena Oakland opened up here, and the guys who took their own initiatives is the Pandora House guys. They're going to be our primary secondary stream. So they're going to showcase the games that currently don't have a pool stream. Like, say, maybe like the Injustice guys are going to come out, but I'm not sure if they're going to have a stream yet. So, you know, we have an opportunity with the Pandora House guys to stream them. Actually, a lot of the anime guys are, like, I just heard three streams are going to come out to stream, like, Blaze Blue, Eunice, Revelator 2. So it's just a matter of them streaming their pools on their channels, and then they can bump up their top threes on our main channels or Pandora houses. So that way we can have a good separation of things to watch. If you guys want to watch the up-and-coming players, we're going to promote the streams that are on the pools. So like this is like so, you know, we're taking it to...
I do not envy the task of having to balance all of this stuff. You've got all of SoCal and NorCal. Apparently, you're going to have 16 million streams going on all at once. So we as the fighting game community, we're excited because we can watch whatever we want. But you guys are going to have to like organize all of this. And I have faith that Tio Valle and Level Up can do that, but I do not envy that kind of a task.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be, I'm not going to say it's peaches and cream. It's going to be some bit of a cluster. I'm going to be honest with you, because we're going to have to manage like how many streams are going on at one time. Every week is going to be different because some streamers aren't going to be able to come out, and we have to adjust on the fly. We may not have enough setups for a certain game because, you know, it's a weekly event. Sometimes you've seen it, John. There's like a 50 one day, another day it could be like 20, another day it could be 100. Or like what?
You know what I mean? Absolutely. Yeah. It fluctuates all the time. And then certain scenes like Injustice, or I'm sorry, the NRS scene, for example, might have a game that's doing really hot and that tapers off until the next one comes out. So it's always changing around. And you said that there might be like three different anime, you know, streams coming out being put on basically by the community. I wanted to ask you though, you often say it's mostly up to the individuals and it's in the individual communities to keep things going. In your experiences, you're running Wednesday night fights and you have all these different communities there on the same night. Which scene puts in the most effort? So you got your anime scene, you got the Capcom scene, you got NRS, you got Smash, you got Tekken. Which scene comes? I mean, it sounds right now like the anime guys are winning in this category because they've got three different streams coming out to do NorCal WNF. But in your opinion, which one's putting down the most effort and earning it the most right now?
You know, man, I'm gonna be honest. So at first, it's whoever comes out and whatever their favorite game is. So Nick Tanella, right? He was the first one in SoCal to but he's a Street Fighter. And everybody wanted to watch Street Fighter V, you know, because it just came out. But he ended up being the variety streamer, another integral part of showcasing all the other games. So, you know, Pandora House, in the case up here, yeah, they're mainly known for Street Fighter. But when I pitched it to them, I said, I think you guys are much more than that. I think you guys... just want to, you know, welcome everybody to like start coming to Esports Arena before Wednesday Night Fights arrive, and I think they love that too. I think they don't necessarily have to just show Street Fighter V. So I don't think it's just in the beginning phase. Yes, you may see like the anime guys may come in right and do their stuff, and with their three streams, but let's see what happens 3 to 6 months from now. Maybe they, as content producers, they may grow into wanting to stream more. So I always ask that. Every week I come by and I check out every stream producer. I'm like, hey, how's it going with your stream? Are you happy with the numbers? I mean, do you want to try to stream another game? You know, maybe we have a bunch of games. You can try it. Don't just limit yourself to stream this, even though this is your passion. But as a content producer, you know, you want to get some recognition, some awareness, because it sucks. You don't want to have like a 20-man stream, a 10-man stream, or maybe you're happy with that, but not. But you would like to see maybe 500 to 1,000, and that's actually might give you a bit of more motivation to keep going, because it hurts. I know it does. I see guys, and they can't ever raise that bar. They don't know what to do. So that's why, you know, Jimmy and I are here to give you guys ideas and to figure out, hey, maybe you guys should put this type of talent on, or maybe you guys should promote these type of events. You guys should do something a little bit more different than what everybody else is doing. So I would, bottom line, answer your question, it's a mixture of just what that person, how much value that person is going to come in. I don't just see them as anime community come in to stream it. I see community members willing to take that leap to figure out if this is what they want to do long term.
Well, that leads into what the last topic we're gonna have time for, which is, you know, doing a lot of games and having all these communities come together has been a big part of your brand for a long time. And SCR is, I believe, part of just about every fighting game circuit known to man. There is the Capcom Pro Tour, the Street Fighter 30th Tournament, the Tekken World Tour, the Injustice 2 Pro Series, and the Dragon Ball FighterZ World Tour are all in attendance there. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, SoCal Regionals, man. It's for the longest time we have been the hardest region to qualify for any of these. Times have changed now. The same international players are going to all the premier events. So, yeah, we kind of lose that flair a little bit. But that's just, trends of times have changed. And now, you know, we just have to cater as another satellite premier event. We are fortunate enough to work with all the publishers. So thank all the publishers to still supporting the region, because there's not that many Tekken World Tour events now. They had to dial down that, right? We are a radar event for Dragon Ball, so we're not a saga event. So it's year one, right? So they're still trying to figure out which events are going to have the right Dragon Ball attendance and impressions for them. So it's still a really cool opportunity for the winner of that event to be flown out to a saga event of their choice. Capcom Pro Tour, we're a staple in our region to have some of the hypest events. Even Yukadon was our champion last year, and he's killing it still this year. So it's going to be great to see him come back. And Tekken World Tour, we're a challenger event. We were a master last year, so they kind of dialed it back. And it's understandable. I think it actually worked out better for us, to be honest, because we get to stream Tekken on the Level Up channel. So that actually helps more, more programming power for our sponsors and partners, because we didn't have that before. That's one thing to always worry about when you are a tournament organizer, because you have to do so many white label, Capcom Pro Tour stream. None of our sponsors can go on that stream, right? Mm-hmm. Et cetera, with any other showcase. Like the IPS, Injustice Pro Series, this is our first time actually being on that. And it will be on the NetherRealms channel, but we're still excited because we've always supported the NRR stream, scene in our region. It's not that big, to be honest, in the West compared to the East, but I mean, we're still fortunate enough to be, on board with that. But yeah, man, we're still pumping that, and not only that, we took some lessons from last year. We only had, I think, about 10 or 11 games. Now we have over 16 games. So we have.
You're gonna be busy.
We're gonna be super super busy. We have like 16 games. We have included Smash, Melee, and 4. We do have the space for it now. We have about 28,000 square feet. Last year we had 24,000 square feet and we still couldn't fill it. So
is it a new venue? Are you talking about that yet? Or okay.
Yes. The venue is going to be at the Ontario Convention Center. It's a venue we've had SCR before during 2015, but it was at a ballroom. Now we're at the Exhibit Hall B. So it was really cool walking that space at the Exhibit Hall, 3 years ago, saying like, hey, you know what? Hopefully SCR will be here one year, and here we are. So, growing to that is always a good feeling. And you know, we're doing it as much as we can. And you know, hopefully people understand too that it's really expensive here, guys. Like all the lavish venues that are like, you know, in the Midwest or like in the South or stuff, it's like I wish I had you know, access to those compared to down here. Like we're just stuck with SoCal real estate, and NorCal is actually worse. So, and that's why, and New York is probably the worst out of all of us. That's why there's not really major events going on in there, except, you know, we have Defend the North. City of Brass is handling business up there, but like, man, you know, I understand his pain. I really do. Yeah.
Well,
but yeah, that's our September 14th to 16th, man.
Well, yeah, I mean, that about brings us to the end. Give people, I mean, this all sounds insanely ambitious, but give people just a few dates, a few places to keep watching out for.
Yes. So the Wednesday Night Fights Esports Arena Oakland grand opening is tomorrow, and that stream is going to start at 8 p.m. The main stream is Level Up Live. Our main secondary stream will be Pandora House. All this information will be posted in our social media. Please follow us on Level Up Series on Twitter. And we will also follow up with all the community streams that are going to be on both facilities, WNF in Orange County, WNF in Oakland. And as far as SCR, it's September 14th through the 16th. We pretty much have a premiered circuit to all the major games, and it's going to be at the Ontario Convention Center. If you want to sign up, it's on smash.gg/SCR2018. So,
awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on, Tio. We all appreciate it, and it's lovely to see your face yet again here on Best of Five.
Oh, man, thank you guys so much.
Absolutely. Mike, do you want to sign us off? I'm not good with that stuff.
Yeah, of course. Well, thank you to everyone for watching Best of Five. Thank you to Alex Vi for coming on the show. Maybe our best friend on the show, frankly. He's certainly been on it the most times and always has great things to announce. I'm looking forward to the next Wednesday Night Fights. I already watched most of them, and certainly SCR. Thank you to all of you for watching. Feel free to subscribe or follow if you want to, but really, all we really care about is having you right here. Hopefully next week, Efren will be back. I'm not sure. If he's not, you can't really blame him as much as I want to. But outside of that, thank you all for watching.